that to the glory of the Almighty God, we are going to be able to ordain two people this morning who will be pastors in this church. And that is to his own glory. Please, can I have Justin come forward? And Esther Adegboye, please, can you just come forward? This is something we have prayed about very, very seriously. Please, can you just face the church so that they know you, so that people see you? I know they've known you, but they are going to know you differently now. The reason they are going to know you differently is this. There are probably some things you used to do before that you will not be able to do again. Not because they are unbiblical, but because of who you are in Jesus Christ. The Bible says all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Is anoint them with oil as a mark of their call. And also, the church will give them a certificate. Because when I was ordained 10 years ago, I was also given a certificate. But let me tell you something. It is not, we know that this is not what's going to take one to heaven. But it's actually a call to a higher level of responsibility. And if you read your Bible very well, the Bible says, be careful not to be a teacher. Why? Because there will be a stricter judgment. It's not a plaything. It's a very, very serious thing we are doing this morning. Please, can you get me the anointing oil from the back so that we'll pray for these ones. As a church, can you please just stretch forth your hands and begin to pray for these children of the living God? Begin to pray for them. If you cannot pray in words, pray in the Holy Spirit. Just begin to pray for them. Begin to pray for them. It's a big, big step. And I've always prayed that my testimony will never be destroyed. That is the prayer that I've always prayed. When I was ordained, I prayed that the Lord called me, that it would stand. And it is my prayer for these two this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Just begin to pray for them. Continue to pray. Continue to pray for them. We thank you, Jesus. No man on earth should give glory to himself. All the glory must be to you in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I'm going to do it individually. I'm not going to do the two at the same time. So please. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, my Lord and my God, I lift up your Son unto you this morning, that in the mighty name of Jesus, even as you have called him and we have ordained him this morning, I pray, O Lord, that as he will go out in your name, when he makes pronouncement in the name of Jesus, the earth will hear him and obey him in Jesus' name. The heavens will hear him and obey him in the mighty name of Jesus. The elements will hear him and obey him in the mighty name of Jesus. The weathers will hear him and obey him in the mighty name of Jesus. The hand of the Almighty God will be mighty upon you all the days of your life in Jesus' name. The Bible says the gifts and the calling of God is without repentance. You are not going to be tired. You are not going to retire. You are not going to fail. You are not going to faint. You are not going to falter. When they mention ministers who have abandoned their calling, when they talk of ministers who compromise the word for their own gain, you will not be among them in the mighty name of Jesus. When they talk of ministers, because the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking. The devil will not devour you. He will not be able to derail your ministry. When they talk of ministers who, because of them, they speak evil of the ministry, that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. The Lord will uphold you. Storms will come, but you will overcome. Tribulations will come, but you will ride on the waves of tribulation. What is meant to destroy you will make you to be a destruction to your life, will be a miracle to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Everything that needs to line up for you to be an accomplished servant of the living God in your home, your wife, your children, your work, your health, your intellect, your vision, everything will line up with the will of God from today in Jesus' name. Every hindrance to your ministry, they are drowned today in Jesus' name. Everything that will not allow the work of God to prosper in your hand, I report them to heaven this morning. Therefore, they will not have a place in your life in Jesus' name. The Lord will bless you because you will serve him to the point of reward. The Lord will promote you in the mighty name of Jesus. The psalmist says, once I was young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. You will not be forsaken. You will not beg for bread. Your seed will not beg for bread. Your call to the ministry is not going to end with you. Your children after you will stand in the office of a priest before the Almighty God in the mighty name of Jesus. Some people served the Lord and their children were destroyed. Your children will not be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will uphold you. When you speak, they will hear. Some people are in the ministry and their homes are destroyed. Your home will not be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus. The strength to bear this call, the Lord will give to you. He will give to your wife in the mighty name of Jesus. He will give to your children. You will sow little and you will reap many in the mighty name of Jesus. I say, when you sow little, you will receive great for your reward in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. in Jesus' name. Father, I want to thank you once again because you are such a good God. And your faithfulness is from generation to generation. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, you promised, you said, on that day, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. The Spirit of God is poured upon you today in Jesus' name. You will prophesy. You will see vision. You will serve the Lord all the days of your life. Everything that will work against your ministry, the Lord will work against them in Jesus' name. You are going to be victorious. You are ordained into the office of a pastor. Jesus is the great shepherd. You are the under shepherd. You will not fail him. In the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the true shepherd. He said, when he sees danger coming, he will run. You will not run from your call in Jesus' name. The Lord will give you strength. The Lord will supply you with everything that you need to accomplish the purpose of his call in your life in Jesus' name. Today I pray that everything in your life will line up with this call. Your husband will line up with this call. Your children will line up with this call. Your job will line up with this call. Your health will line up with this call. Your destiny will line up with this call. In the mighty name of Jesus. When they talk about ministers who compromise, you will not compromise. You will seek to please the one who has called you. In the mighty name of Jesus. You will not fail. You will not faint. You will not falter. Because the gift and the calling of God is without repentance. The Lord will not repent his call upon your life in Jesus' name. Whatever you call forth will come forth in Jesus' name. When you speak to the winds, they will obey you. The waves of life will obey you. Troubles, trials, and tribulations will obey you. In the mighty name of Jesus. You become a representative of the Almighty God from today. Thank you, King of Glory. Lakoshenga Kapuli Shandara. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I've ordained your children in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They shall bear the call of the office of a pastor all the day of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, all the glory must be to the Lord, for he is worthy of our praise. No man on earth should give glory to himself. All the glory must be to the Lord. Please just hang on for a second. And I will. You have something to say? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with the Lord. But I will tell you, God will take you to a higher ground in Jesus' name. Everyone that has come to witness this morning, I say God will take you to a higher ground in Jesus' name. I'm well aware of our time. So what we are going to do this morning, has the choir got a special number? Okay. So please, we are just going to quickly take the offering, and the choir will give us a special number. Thereafter, I'm going to share the word of God with us.
Be on our feet. I will take the hymn. It's at the back of the bulletin. So let's be on our feet. Amen. I found a friend in Jesus.
He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Father, we thank you because you are a dependable God and you provide clarity where there seems to be confusion. This is because the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding even unto the simple. We present ourselves as simple before you this morning. We pray that you will enlighten our hearts in Jesus' name. Lord, some of us need a change of direction. My Father, my God, if we do need a change of direction, we submit to your authority and we ask that you change our direction today in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, some of us need restoration. Lord Jesus, everyone in such a situation, restore them this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, there are people who need salvation here this morning. My Lord and my God, save them this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, there are people that need promotion this morning. My Father, my God, by reason of your word, you are going to promote them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God, I praise the Lord. So it was very easy for me to come up with that topic and talk about the friends of God, because we are talking about making friends. And as I told us earlier on, if we are going to be able to choose just one friend in this world, Jesus should be that friend. And so my text is taken from the book of John, chapter 15. The book of John, chapter 15, verse 13. And it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I want to start by asking us, who is a friend? And I'm sure as soon as I ask this question, your mind will begin to wonder. If it has not already started to wonder, I want you to start to wonder now and begin to ask yourself, who do I consider as a friend? Who is a friend? What are the attributes of a friend? What are the things that people will do to me that will make me feel or consider them as my friend? Who is a friend? For some of us, we may not necessarily appreciate a friend until you meet with an adversary. When you meet with an adversary, you then begin to appreciate who your friend is. Just like some of us, when you talk about poverty, some of us may never appreciate, when you talk about riches and abundance, you never appreciate what you have until you go get into a situation where you don't have. And many things in life are not meaningful to us until we know the opposite. For example, if there is no failure, there will be no success. But I want to pray for you this morning that you will be a friend of God in Jesus' name. You'll be surprised that not everyone is a friend of God. A friend has a positive disposition towards you and seeks your goodness and well-being. Am I right? So, if you're a friend of God, you have a positive disposition towards God. You seek the expansion of the kingdom, the well-being of the kingdom, and of course, you live in obedience to Him. Like many of us here, I've lived under a lot of assumptions when you talk about friendship. And I will just go through some of these assumptions with us this morning. For example, we often assume that when you are good to someone, that they automatically become your friend. Do they? Not necessarily. So we also assume that maybe because we come from the same place, we are neighbors, or we are in this, there are things we share, maybe tribes or country or whatever, that would necessarily make us friends. No. We also assume that when somebody claims that they are a Christian, that they automatically become our friend. Do they? No, not necessarily. Also, when somebody is our sibling, do they automatically become our friend? Because we are born of the same mother, the same father. Do they normally automatically become our friends? Not necessarily. Just because you are somebody's parent, does it make you their friend? Not necessarily. You may argue against that. And I have my argument for you. How many of us know about Absalom? You know the story of Absalom. Who was the father of Absalom? Was he a friend of David? Praise the Lord. And the fact that you are somebody's child does not necessarily make you their friend, does it? No. Or the fact that you are somebody's husband or somebody's wife does not necessarily make you their friend, does it? No, there are expectations. These are expectations, but it does not, in reality, it does not necessarily make you their friend. The area I want to focus on this morning is the area of the child-parent relationship. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." And of course, the daughters of God. "Even to them that believe on his name," he said, "which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." I've told us, those of us in this church before, that the power there is different from the power in Acts 1:8. That the power here is exousia, which is actually authority. And of course, you'll be asking yourself the question, why do you need power to become somebody's son, to become somebody's daughter? Why do you need authority to be somebody's son or somebody's daughter? We do need power to become the sons and the daughters of God because in a place where you need power, there is work to be done. If there is no work to be done, you don't need power. Right? If there's nothing to do, why do you need power? Those of us who use... Power is work done along a particular given direction. It's not just doing anything, without purpose, it has to be along a given line or a direction. So it's purposeful. But God is saying here that as many as have received him, they are given power to become his children. It simply means that when you become a child of God, there is work to be done and there is a battle to fight. Otherwise, you are not going to need power. I grew up in my father's house. I would just walk in and walk out. I never had anyone to challenge me or doubt whether my parents were my parents. In short, I did not need power to exercise my sonship. But the Bible is making us to understand this morning that when we receive God, we need a power to be able to exercise our sonship or our daughtership. It is this principle that a lot of people have forgotten. And that is why, as Christians, they've stopped resisting the devil. What does the Bible say? It says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." You need power to resist, don't you? You don't resist by just lying on the floor and giving yourself to them or basically throwing up your hand. That's not how you resist. You need power to resist. And of course, we know that the kind of power we are talking about is not just the power of flesh and blood. It's the power that comes from the Almighty God himself. I thought I should just mention the fact that some of us have stopped resisting the devil because We are under grace. The Bible is well aware that we are under grace, yet it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So grace is not about giving up. And of course, as a church, we have looked at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Please, I'm trying to build up something here. So those of us who have heard it before, don't feel that, okay, I'm hearing it again. But again, it's good to hear it because God wants to solidify something in your life. In Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, that we have all shared in this place before, the Bible says, for the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward, that is, appeared for the deliverance from sin and eternal salvation for all mankind. And verse 12 now says, it has trained us. What did it do? What did grace do? It has trained us. Another version says, it teaches us. It says, it has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, that is, irreligion and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world. And remember, I told us the other time, I said there is a difference between rejecting and renouncing. How many of us remember that there is a difference between rejecting and renouncing? You can reject something without saying anything. Am I right? You just walk away from it. You don't make your position clear. If you don't want to talk to me, if I call you on phone, you may not pick the phone. You just reject it. But when you renounce, what do? You speak. You speak against it. The call of God upon your life as a child of God is such that you will have to take a stand, because there is no neutrality with God. Jesus said, those who are not for us are what? They're against us. There is no neutrality. You are either for Jesus or you are not. The other thing I want us to quickly be aware of is that children have stages of development. I'm sure I can see a lot of fathers and mothers here. So please, I'm not going to be telling you what you already know. But let's just quickly do a recap. You have babies. Babies are totally what? Dependent. And you know what? God wants us to be totally dependent on him. Doesn't he? He does. But there's something that sometimes parents don't like about babies. You want me to say it? I thought it's a secret. Do you want me to say it? He has just exercised it. You know what? There is a delay in giving him his food. And so he called out. Children are often very entitled. The world revolves around them. As far as they are concerned, the world revolves around them. They are the world. Every child to himself, to herself, is the world. In other words, there is no bigger picture. When God calls you and you are just getting to know God, that is allowed. But then you cannot stay there. You go on to the next stage. the toddler stage. Very soon, he will get into the toddler stage. And one of the things about the toddler stage is that there is rising and falling. Right? When they start to walk, stand up and they'll fall. Do you know that a lot of Christians live their lives rising and falling? And they have never walked properly. From today, you are going to begin to walk properly in Jesus' name. If you've been rising and falling before, and you don't, you may have been in the Lord for 20 years, and you still be a toddler, and you rise and fall, every time you are repenting, you can't move forward. Remember, the reason why you needed power to become children of God is so that you'll be able to stand. It takes effort to stand. The Bible said, haven't done all things, do what? Stand. Therefore, I say, stand. You don't need any effort to lie on the ground. But for you to stand upright, you need an effort. You will stop falling in Jesus' name. And of course, the bit I loved most, the stage I loved the most, is the stage of the teenager stroke adolescent. Oh yes. This is the stage that a lot of Christians end their walk with God. You are not going to end your walk with God at this stage in Jesus' name. Let's look at, please, I'm not bashing adolescents or teenagers, please. I'm not bashing them. I'm just using that as a study. Let's quickly look at some of the things that characterize this stage. I passed through that stage too. They always think they are wiser than their parents. Mom, you don't understand. Dad, you really don't understand. Please listen. You don't understand. Praise the Lord. The adolescent Christian will question God. They have trouble being obedient to God. The adolescent, they want mom, dad to pick them up, take them to movies, bring them back home, take them to friends' birthday, bring them back home. But when mom and dad says, do this, they have other ideas. The adolescent Christian is the one that does not easily surrender to God. He has other ideas. He never asks for the opinion of God before he does what he will. One of my brothers was sharing a testimony with me that was, you know, it rang home. First, he talked about this, and their father is a doctor, and he wanted them to read medicine. And of course, they had other ideas. So there was a big argument. So the father said, okay, please, read medicine first. After that, if you want to be an electrician, I will support you. Go and do what you want to do. They eventually agreed. And they are reading medicine. And they came back home to thank their father for doing that. There was also another testimony. It was very interesting to me. You know, you probably may not be aware that I was making that connection. The same father who happens to be a surgeon, right? Praise God. God told him to start a church. He told God no, he wasn't going to start a church. Just like he told his children to read medicine. and they said they were not going to read medicine. So he had other ideas. He invested his money in something else. The storms of life came. All the investments went to nowhere. The change that was left from what was destroyed, he used it to start a church. Praise the Lord. The church blossomed. He was now able to do the project he was not able to do before. God trains his children. It is not dependent on age or how long you have known the Lord. If you have not learned the act of obedience, you may remain an adolescent with the Lord forever. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. And of course, as a child of God, the next stage for you is a stage of maturity, when you begin to bear fruits. In other words, you are able to live in obedience to the word of God. And this is where I'm coming. When I told you that not all your children are necessarily going to be your friends, so the fact that you are a child of God may not necessarily make you a friend of God. But it takes adult children to form friendship with their parents. Some of us have attained a level in life that our parents will call us and will have a discussion with us and have a conversation and discuss what's going to happen. You are not just your father's son or daughter. You become their friend. You become their confidant. If we look at John chapter 15, verse 9 to 16 that we read, we read verse 13. But I will quickly go through 15 because it's so important that we read chapter 15 from verse 9. Because friendship with God is predicated on certain things. Because sometimes we may be going around thinking we are friends of God and we are not truly his friend. From verse 9 it says, as the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends. Can somebody finish the remaining one? Praise the Lord. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now, verse 15. It says, henceforth I called you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. I will leave that. I will just leave it there. One of the things that marks you out as a friend of God, or one of the things that friends do, is that they work together. You desire to see your friend and you actually work together. Amos 3:3. Can two work together unless they be agreed? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 24, that Enoch walked with God. The one that walked with God is a friend of God. The one that lives his life with God, intimately involved, is the friend of God. The one that subjects the decisions of his life to the analysis of God's word is the friend of God. The one that does not care what God thinks or how he feels about their decisions cannot say he's a friend of God. A friend can enter into the presence of his friend. You know, when you call your friend, you see, when you are my boss, it's a different thing. When you are my boss, my heart may, you know, pump a beat. When I have to see you, make a request or make a suggestion or do something. But if you are my friend, if I start to get butterfly before I see you, then you are not likely to be my friend. You are not likely to be my friend. If you are my friend, I can come into your presence. In fact, one of the hallmarks of friendship is that you want to see your friend. I used to have a friend when I was in the medical school. You know, if this guy was not there, I could tell you what he was doing. In fact, there was a day I decided not to go for lectures. Without communicating, at that time there was no mobile phone like this in our country. I didn't go for lectures. Without telling this guy, do you know the guy walked to my room at about 10 a.m. and said he too did not go for lecture that day. Honestly, and that was the only day I can remember that I didn't go for lecture. He did not go for lecture. He came to my house without me telling him anything. If I'm lying, my wife is there. That is what you call friendship. You begin to know each other. There's what is called intimacy. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it said concerning Moses, he said, for as he spoke to Moses face to face like a friend. Have you lost your intimacy with God? Was this the level at which you were operating 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Is the fire out or is it still burning? Intimacy is one of the things that show that you are a friend of somebody. God seeks to be intimate with you. He really seeks to be what? To be intimate with you. And I want you to know something. Can you quickly look at Proverbs? Proverbs 17, verse 17. I want to show you something there. This is how you know a true friend. Proverbs 17, verse 17. I'm going to read from Amplified Version because King James does not capture it the way I want it to be. So I'll read Amplified Version. No, King James doesn't capture it the way I want it to be. He says, a friend loves at all times and is born as is a brother for adversity. You can see it's a bit different from what King James is showing us. He said, a friend loves at all times and is born as is a brother for adversity. Where am I going? I'm trying to let you know that adversity will come. You need a friend at the time of adversity. Jesus is that reliable friend that you can call on at the time of adversity. If you go to Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 to 5, Genesis 26, verse 1 to 5, it's a familiar story. The Bible says, and that there was famine in the land in the days of Isaac, as it was in the day of Abraham. The truth about it is that everybody will experience famine in their lives. It's not famine of food necessarily. You may experience famine in your marriage. You may experience famine with your children. You may experience famine with your work. Famine will come. The names we used to call troubles or problems have changed over the years. We find more politically correct, you know, like problem, we like to call it challenge. Praise the Lord. It's good. How many of us listen to a radio program on a guy had just written a book? Please listen to this carefully in case you think I'm saying profanities. The title of the book is what is called is Bull Shift. Bull Shift. Basically, what this man is doing, he goes around and he studies languages that we have used, that we now use, to help circumvent us telling the truth. If I want to fire you, I would say I want to relocate you. You know, we look for other languages to soften the blow. Praise God. But let me tell you something. The day of adversity will come for every man, every woman. It may be different aspect of your life, but you need a friend. Say, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And that is Jesus. David had a day of his adversity. Only very few people stayed. Only very few people stayed. Friends have access to each other, like I told you. In John 15:15, Jesus said, he said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. He said, why? Because the servant does not know what his master is doing. He said, I've shown you all things. Friends of God, they have the secrets of God. They have the solutions of God for their lives. Not just for their lives, for the lives of other people. They are the people who have entered into the right relationship with God and have the authority to receive, to give, and to receive in the kingdom. Some friendship come with an oath. That's the last thing I want to let you know. Some friendships come with an oath. The friendship that God has with us is a covenant relationship with an oath. And it is a blood oath to say that he will perform that which he says concerning you. Some of you, some of the young people know, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It is very common these days to have a young person, you know, they make some friends, wrong friends, and the wrong friends will say, look, if you know that you are really my friend, can you take a photo of yourself in this kind of situation and text it to me? And people will oblige. The young people will oblige. And it's caused a lot of trouble for people. So there are different ways people seal their friendship. And God has sealed his friendship with those that he called his own by blood. And I want to let you know that across cultures, over the years, it has been shown that the greatest or the surest way people come together for an oath or have a binding relationship is through blood. From my own part of the world, it's not uncommon for people, if they want to keep a secret together, they actually go and swear, mixing their blood together. That is the kind of relationship that we have with God. God had a covenant with Abraham. He had a covenant with Elkanah. Hannah had an oath to bring back Samuel, which she did. God has an oath to fulfill his counsel in the life of his friends. When he says he's going to bless you, no one can stop him. When he says he's going to promote you, no one can change it. Now, you are going to ask me a question. You say, why doesn't this come to pass in the lives of some children of God? I've told you that obedience is so important. When Elkanah and Hannah went to Shiloh, and Eli told them, like somebody said, I'm sharing what somebody said with you, and God told them, you are going to have a child. He said, this time next year, you will come with a son. The question the person asks is this. Why didn't Elkanah pick up his drums, gong, and start beating around town and started dancing? And separate his room from that of Hannah and did not do his own part? For the counsel of God to come to pass in your life, you have to play your own part and live in obedience to him. And those are the people Jesus referred to as his friends. You have all to gain and nothing to lose when you live as a friend of God. Can you please rise on your feet this morning? Please, can we have all eyes closed and all heads bowed? All eyes closed and all heads bowed. Please, can you bring the wine and the elements, please? If you are in the house this morning and you know that you are not even a child of God yet, to talk of being his friend, can you please? Because not even all the children of God are God's friends. I'm a psychiatrist. I see a lot of people come to see me. And the greatest enemies they've got, they are members of their family. So, somebody being a member of your family is not necessarily your friend. So, you are in the house this morning. You have never given your life to Christ. Can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God? No one is looking at you. All eyes are closed. All heads are bowed. You've never given your life to Christ. It is very important. It is very important. Because only friends have access to the kingdom. Only friends have access to the secrets of the kingdom. Only friends can exercise the power and the authority that comes with their sonship and their daughtership. Are you in the house this morning? You have never given your life to Jesus Christ. Can you just lift up your hands to the Almighty God? Thank you, Jesus. Please, can the church just pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, you are the best friend I can have. I have come today to have a different level of relationship with you. I want to be identified as one that can be called your friend. Doors are open to friends, and the friends and friends can take from the kingdom. Lord Jesus, let heaven declare me as a friend. Every mark that follow your friend will follow me from today. I will not end my life without proclaiming that I'm your friend, because I'm not ashamed of you, and you would not be ashamed of me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please, we are going to pass around the bread. This is the Holy Communion. The condition for partaking in it is that you have to be born again. So if you are born again, Holy Spirit filled, please take the bread, and as soon as you get it, you can eat it. But please keep the wine. We are going to drink in unison. Just keep the wine, don't drink. Now, as you collect, as you take the bread and take your own wine, I want you to be concerning that area of your life where you want God to visit you. That thing that you want God to attend to in your life. Maybe you have never trusted him before in faith. If you have never trusted him in faith before, please, can you just speak to him now? Speak to him and see what God will do in your life. The Lord intends to build you up. He intends to take you to a higher ground by reason of a covenant relationship that he will have with you from today in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to begin to speak to the Lord. Begin to speak to the Lord concerning your life, concerning your actions, concerning all that has to do with you. Begin to speak to the Lord. Anything specific, maybe the doctors have told you you could not be healed of a particular disease. Maybe your children are troubled. Maybe you are looking unto the Lord for a life partner, a husband or a wife. Can you just speak to the Lord right now? Speak to the Lord. He is the solution. He is the answer. Please speak to him. Taste and see that the Lord is good this morning. Begin to speak to him, because we have already prayed for you that as you eat and you dine with the Almighty God, that he will answer your prayer this morning. That the Lord will visit you like he has never visited you before. I want you to begin to pray to the Almighty God this morning. Begin to pray to him. Begin to pray to him. Ask him to visit you. Ask him to visit you. That today will mark it a day of something significant in your life. A day of a new song. A history-making day in your life and in your walk with God. And the power of God upon your life in the mighty name of Jesus. If your child is sick, please, you can give the wine to them. If your child is sick, please give them the wine, because they will live. They will not die, and they can have it. Only the children who are sick are allowed to take the wine. Please give the wine to any child that is sick here. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord, because you answer prayers. And we receive of you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let's drink in unison. Father, I thank you. I give you praise for all your children who have come today. Not only are they going to be your children, but they are friends of the kingdom. My Lord and my God, whatever it will take you, whatever it will take the resources of heaven, none of these shall miss the kingdom in Jesus' name. My Lord and my God, even as we have eaten of your flesh and drank of your blood this afternoon, on that day when you will return, Lord, every one of us here will be in your presence, and we will eat and we will drink with you in Jesus' name. Is anyone healing their sick in their bodies? By reason of the anointing, every yoke is broken today in Jesus' name. I say by reason of the anointing, because the anointing breaks the yoke. I say that yoke is broken in Jesus' name. Is anyone depressed in the house? By reason of the anointing, that yoke is broken today in Jesus' name. Is anyone hopeless in the house? Father, by reason of the anointing, that yoke is broken today in Jesus' name. Is everyone is in want? By reason of the anointing, that yoke is broken today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.